Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, this is God's word. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather around and I will tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Come together and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, and the first fruits of my virility, excelling in prominence, excelling in power. Turbulent as water, you will not excel because you got into your father's bed and you defiled it." He got into my bed. "Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. For in their anger they kill men, and on a whim they hamstring oxen. Their anger is cursed, for it is strong, and their fury, for it is cruel. I will disperse them throughout Jacob and scatter them throughout Israel. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. Judah is a young lion. My son, you return from the kill. He crouches. He lies down like a lion or a lioness. Who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes, and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. He ties his donkey to a vine, and the colt of his donkey to the choice vine. He washes his clothes in wine and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, and his teeth are whiter than milk. Zebulun will live by the seashore and will be a harbor for ships, and his territory will be next to Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between the saddlebags. He saw that his resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, so he leaned his shoulder to bear a load and became a forced laborer. Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be a snake by the road, a viper beside the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider falls backward. I wait for your salvation, Lord. Gad will be attacked by raiders, but he will attack their heels. Asher's food will be rich, and he will produce royal delicacies. Naphtali is a doe set free that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful vine beside a spring. Its branches climb over the wall. The archers attacked him, shot at him, and were hostile toward him. Yet his bow remained steady and his strong arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob, by the name of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, by the God of your father who helps you, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the heavens above blessings of the deep that lies below, blessings of the breasts and the womb. The blessings of your father excel the blessings of my ancestors, and the bounty of the ancient hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince of his brothers. Benjamin is a wolf. He tears his prey. In the morning he devours the prey, and in the evening he divides the plunder. These are the tribes of Israel, 12 in all, and this is what their father said to them. He blessed them, and he blessed each one with a suitable blessing. Then he commanded them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hethite. The cave is in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in the land of Canaan. This is the field Abraham purchased from Ephron the Hethite as a burial property. Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried there. Isaac and his wife Rebekah are buried there. And I buried Leah there. The field and the cave in it were purchased from the Hethites. When Jacob had finished giving charge to his sons, he drew his feet into the bed, took his last breath, and was gathered to his people. And Joseph, leaning over his father's face, wept and kissed him. He commanded his servants who were physicians to embalm his father, so they embalmed Israel. They took 40 days to complete this, for embalming takes that long. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning were over, Joseph said to Pharaoh's household, If I have found favor with you, please tell Pharaoh that my father made me take an oath, saying, I'm about to die. You must bury me there in the tomb that I made for myself in the land of Canaan. Now, let me go and bury my father, then I will return. So Pharaoh said, Go and bury your father in keeping with your oath. Then Joseph went to bury his father, and all Pharaoh's servants, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt went with him, along with all Joseph's family, his brothers, and his father's family. Only their dependents, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. Horses and chariots went up with him. It was a very impressive procession. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, which is across the Jordan, they lamented and wept loudly, and Joseph mourned 7 days for his father. When the Canaanite inhabitants of the land saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is a solemn mourning on the part of the Egyptians. Therefore, the place is named Abel Mizraim. It is across the Jordan. So Jacob's sons did for him what he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave at Machpelah in the field near Mamre, which Abraham had purchased as burial property from Ephron the Hethite. After Joseph buried his father, he returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone with him to bury his father. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone and into the realm of the unknown.
Jacob said, come and let me tell you what is going to happen to you. Jacob was speaking by the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, was giving him insight into what was coming. Just as surely as God had spoken to Pharaoh through a dream and then revealed the meaning of the dream to Joseph, so that the 7 years of prosperity followed by 7 years of famine were told ahead of time. Because let me tell you, who knows what's coming? For sure, God. God knows. And you and I, as we live through that, can do so with confidence if we're in right relationship with God, because we know that whatever is happening, A, God is not caught off guard, and B, God is working out his plan. That is going to be vital to understanding how Joseph responds to what happened with his brothers. You remember, he's already told them, don't feel badly about what happened, because God is the one who sent me down here to save lives, including yours. This is all for the good. Now, that does not mean that everything everybody does is good. People do evil things, and God sees those things as evil, and God will deal with those things. But in the midst of it all, God is still sovereignly working out his plan. Our salvation was accomplished not just with God knowing ahead of time what was going to happen, but with God orchestrating the events. Jesus, knowing this, described what was going to happen. And he prayed in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because it was God's will that he should die on the cross to save us. That was God's plan. God knew what he was up to. God was working out the plan in detail. And so what we see Israel or Jacob doing here when he talks to his sons is not just predicting, because I know what you guys are like. This is prophecy. And there are things in this that are not very positive. I love the fact that it says at the end, he gave each one a blessing suitable to them. Okay? His oldest son, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, and the first fruits of my virility, excelling in prominence, excelling in power. You will not excel. You will not excel. Wow. Why not? He says, because you defiled my bed. Reuben slept with one of his dad's wives. He had marital relations with a woman that he wasn't married to, which is wrong. And even more heinous, it was his stepmom. That's hideous. Years have gone by. Looks like he got away with it. Hey, maybe Dad never found out. No, Dad knew. Dad knew, and Dad did nothing. And now Dad says, your future is not good. And the reason your future is not good is because of what you did. And because of what you have done, you will not excel. So, verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. For in their anger they kill men, and on a whim they hamstring oxen. Their anger is cursed, for it is strong, and their fury, for it is cruel. I will disperse them throughout Jacob and scatter them throughout Israel. Who's speaking? God is saying, I will disperse them. I will scatter them. You know what's astounding? Even though that happens, God used them. The tribe of Levi is, those are the priests. And they're going to be scattered. And they're going to use their knives to kill animals and offer sacrifices. But verse 8, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the necks of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. The scepter, verse 10, will not depart from Judah, or the staff from between his feet, until he whose right it is comes. And the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. Guess who's going to come from the tribe of Judah? Jesus. And guess who's going to take the throne and rule and reign forever and ever? Jesus. How'd Jacob know that? Jacob didn't know the details. He just said what God told him to say, because God knew that. And God is the one who is saying, this is what's going to happen. Out of the tribe of Judah, there's going to come a ruler, and he is the one. God was speaking through Jacob of Jesus, who amazingly would be a descendant of Jacob through the line of Judah. But it blows my mind that God would come that way. I got an email from somebody, I'm going to guess now it's been close to 10 years ago. One of our radio listeners was upset because I had made the statement that even Mary needed a Savior, that Jesus came to save sinners, and that included his own mom. And this guy was very upset, and he wrote to me and he said, don't you understand that in order for Jesus to be sinless, his mother had to be sinless? And I wrote back and I said, so what about her mother? Do you understand that Jesus is the only one? Jesus is unique. He is God's only begotten Son. And he offers his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And he's going to come through the line of Judah, whose dad was Jacob, who was a deceiver. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that God, knowing everything about all of us, not just what we have done, but what we will do, God still chooses to save. I wouldn't do it. You understand? I'm not just saying I wouldn't send my son to die for you. I wouldn't send my son to die for me. And God sent his son to die for us. And here is another one of the many prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming to save us. Verse 13, Zebulun will live by the seashore and will be a harbor for ships. His territory will be next to Sidon. How did he know that? God said so. God said so. I don't know how you'd feel about being Issachar. This son of mine, strong donkey of a man, lying down between the saddlebags. Lying down, that's not what it's, I mean, if you're strong, you're supposed to be, standing carrying the load. No. He says he's going to end up in a position of servitude. Even though he has real strength, he's going to do what it takes to stay where he wants. Interesting picture. And of course, as with the rest of God's word, true. And then he describes Joseph. And Joseph is to be greatly blessed. Verse 26, the blessings of your father excel the blessings of my ancestors, and the bounty of the ancient hills. May they rest on the head of Joseph and on the brow of the prince of his brothers. Joseph was still his father's favorite. And I would say, based on everything we know about each of the sons, it's a good choice. And God is the one who spoke through Jacob and pronounced these blessings on each of the children. And so since Benjamin had the same mama, is he going to be described the way Joseph was? Is he going to get a nice long paragraph? No, he's given a shorter one. Benjamin is a wolf. He tears at his prey. In the morning he devours the prey. In the evening he divides the plunder. Benjamin is a man of violence. Just a description given here. This is the reality. And you'll see it as you read through the Old Testament and study the history. These are the tribes of Israel, 12 in all, and this is what their father said to them. He blessed them, and he blessed each one with a suitable blessing. And then he commanded them, here's what you're to do for me. Now, he's already told Joseph, he's already gotten Joseph to swear that he will do this, that he's going to take him back to the burial place, but he wants to be sure. It's very, very important for the reasons we discussed last time. Very important to Jacob that he not have his remains stay there in Egypt, because he knows he belongs back in the promised land. The place that God had said would be a permanent inheritance for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. That is the special place set apart by God for those people in perpetuity. That's the plan. There are people who don't believe that anymore. They say, no, now the church has replaced Israel. Israel was pointing to the church. But it would not be a very good picture of the unshakable nature of God's promises to the church if God's promises to earthly Israel no longer stood. God keeps his promises. And anybody who looks at history has to marvel at the fact that Israel came back into that promised land and has taken a wasteland and turned it back into, with God's help, with God's blessing, turned it back into a place of tremendous prosperity. So they promised. And when Jacob finished, verse 33, giving charges to his sons, he drew his feet into his bed, took his last breath, and was gathered to his people. Let me tell you something. Most of us don't know when we're about to go to be with the Lord. I've known several folks who did, but most of us don't know. But if I could tell you one last time, I would want to tell you, live for Jesus. That's all that matters. Everything else goes away. Nothing lasts except your relationship with Him. Possessions mean nothing. Fame means nothing. Live for Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.